This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting. Put them hands up. Yeah, put them
hands up. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I know. It's been too long. Ridiculously long. You know what's funny? I still have not looked at Ross's email, the producer, about copyright infringement for this song because I love it so much. I'm just waiting for a lawsuit. Let it play out. Be free, lie, fill our hearts and men, just break. Speak, be heard for yours and just leave. Gotta break codes of silence, hear law straight from violence. No more police sirens, we won the lions. Common sense need applying. Sick of all separation, rise up from hatred. Black, white, unite the nation. Amazing. Amazing. It's been too long since you heard from your drunk uncle. I feel like I left you down. I gotta make up for it today. I gotta bring it. Give you guys a little love. I love my drunk uncle people, man, more than anything else. I mean, not saying more than my family, but you know what I mean. I love my drunk uncle audience. I love how you guys support me, man. I feel good. I'm in a really, really good mood. I'm hyped. I got a lot of things to share, a lot of things that are on my mind. We got Pimp Game 1-on-1 that's going to be coming up in a few minutes. But welcome back to your drunk uncle sports podcast, and I am your drunk uncle, Anwar Richardson. How's everybody been? I know what you're gonna say, man. Forget you, drunk uncle. Forget you, man. You weren't here last week. You only did one podcast last week. That's some BS. I'm done with you, man. Go ahead and hit your mic and mess up your podcast if you want to. I'm done with you. Listen. Let me ask for your forgiveness. Listen, I'm just asking for forgiveness. I'm not even giving you a reasonable explanation. I don't really have a really good one. Like, I have an okay one, but you know when you kind of in trouble with the wife or your girl, right? And you just know that, or ladies, you're in trouble with your husband. And you just know that, man, whatever I'm about to say, it's not going to really even matter. All I can do is just own it and just say, I apologize. I'm sorry. And then they go, la, 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 la. And you go, yeah, you know what? I apologize. I'm so sorry. Da, 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 da. Yeah, you know what? For real. I apologize. I'm so sorry. And then at that point, they're frustrated because they don't know what else to say because they're like, well, I can't really beat up the person because he's not getting defensive. He's owning it. You just say, I apologize. I'm going to do better. And guess what? Going forward, I'm going to do better. So please forgive me. I will do better. Won't give you any excuses. So how was your weekend? Let's just move on. Let's just move on for that. Like, you always want to move on when you're in trouble. Let's just move on. Hey, how was your day, honey? How was your weekend, fellas? Ladies, how was your weekend? Because I didn't do a lot this weekend, which would make for a horrible podcast if I'm going to tell you about stuff that I didn't do. But I'll get to stuff some fun stuff. But for the most part, I was kind of in the man cave. One of my good friends who lives in the same community just came over and hung out and hung out a couple of days, drank all my liquor. And, you know, say, like, fellas, what is it? What's the rule here? What's the rule when you got friends who live really close to you and they want to come to your house and hang out, but sometimes they're just bringing the mixer and they're just drinking up the alcohol? Like, what's the rule? Like, at what point, after what bottle do I buy, does that person have to chip in on a little something, something, right? Because we get it in the other worlds, right? The puff, puff, pass, where you got to put something down. We get that, right? But I'm just talking about for the drinkers. Like, at what point am I saying, okay, you know, I pour two for myself, but I pour two for you, you know? Or I pour three for myself, pour three for you. Like, I'm not stingy with it, but I just got to know, at what point do you got to tell your friends, hey, man, you got to put something in on this. You got to chip in on this. Can somebody got five on it? Can somebody put five on it? Oh, Only older hip hop heads are gonna know exactly what that reference was about. So someone is like, dum-dum. They're like, this guy killed it. Someone else is like, I have no clue what that is. I don't know if he means $5. I mean, like 5 pennies. Like I don't even know. So in any case, chilled out at the house, man. So we just, you know, I just kind of chill. But here's probably like the coolest thing that I have done recently, and it's really as of Monday. Happy April Fool's Day to you, by the way. I don't know if you actually celebrate that or not. I don't. It's kind of a silly holiday to me. My kids were asking me about it this morning, and they were talking about how they needed to prank people, and I just like, I don't really think you guys get the concept. And then she was asking me if I had some sort of saran wrap that she could put over her face because she was going to do a prank, and I'm like, I don't really think, baby, that works as a prank. That just works as you trying to like make your face look silly. It's not, you don't understand April. I feel like it got watered down, and I feel like maybe I'm a failure as a parent for not explaining to them what April Fool's is all about. But I'm pretty sure whatever they think it is, they're 100% wrong. I'm just putting that out there, right? So happy April Fool's to you. Make sure you play some jokes on somebody or whatever. I don't know. And so on Monday, I've been telling you guys that I'm going to get in shape, right? I've been telling you and I've been talking about how I'm going to start running and I'm going to try to get back into shape because I used to be in shape. I don't know about you, but I used to be in shape. But I used to be in phenomenal shape back in my 20s. Back even before then, but back in the day, I don't know about you guys, man, I would run basketball. You go out to the park, man, you run basketball for hours. You know what I'm saying? You would just run, and of course, if you lost, you wouldn't run, but I would be out there for hours or practicing for hours or all day long because that's just how much I loved it. And I loved the sport and I just wanted to get better at it. Barely eating, go out to McDonald's and then come back. You know what I'm saying? Like that crazy stuff where you're just running and training. And I used to have friends who played basketball, and I would always train with them. One of my friends who I knew from Tampa, he was actually from Orlando, went to University of South Florida, a guy by the name of Chucky Atkins, used to play ball with him at USF. And I mean, he killed me. Like, please don't act like I'm trying to say I hung with Chucky. Like, we would play games at 21, us and a couple of people. And yes, there was a few times I got up to 13 and I felt good. I mean, I felt good, but I clearly knew what was about to happen. I mean, it was about to, no matter what you think of him versus NBA players, him versus people like me, rec players, oh, he's talking about a lot of slow slinging and a lot of flower bringing. Oh my goodness, it was horrible. So anyway, I used to jog. I would jog 3 miles a day before I would go box. Like I would literally go jog 3 miles on the treadmill and then head in and box or jog on the street. But the treadmill is kind of cool, right? And then I would go box. And in fact, I don't know if I told this story, but you guys know I'm a real boxing person. Like, I love boxing. That's probably my favorite sport. I just love boxing. That is it. I love boxing. And then past that, I love football. And I was into boxing. Like, I would always go to the gyms, and I went to the gyms where the professional fighters were, right? And so I was in the gym, and I showed up to the gym, and I was tall like I am now, but I was skinnier back then. Like, I was like a 6'2", but somewhere in the 140s, right? So they liked me, and this promoter who was there was really intrigued by me, right? And because they were like tall, lanky, and so I started training with these professional trainers. I don't know if I ever told the story or not. If I've told it, just go ahead and maybe I'm going to say something new. If this is the first time you're hearing it, this gets good. So I'm working out, and let me tell you, I am a workout king. I'm hitting the back, pow, pow, whack, whack. Hitting the bass, whap, 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 right? Hitting the mitts. 1, 2, 3, pop, pop, pop. 1, 2, 3, pop, pop, pop. 1, 2, 3, duck. 1, 2, 3. One, you know, I am killing it. My trainer's yelling out to me, Hitman, like the Thomas Hitman here is tall, lanky guy. The Hitman's here. And they said I had power in my right. My left, it was okay, right? It was just enough jab to kind of keep you off of them. But the right, world-class right. I've had several people who've actually trained professional fighters tell me that my right hand is of world-class strength. They said the left, kind of sucks. Now, the higher, well, I've trained different people, like, your left sucks. I prefer to say it was adequate enough to keep someone off. But anyway, the right was a killer, right? So they're like, listen, we need to take you down for sparring. We want you to see what it's like before we put you in the ring. And now I'm in my 20s, so I'm probably 25, maybe 26, somewhere in that vicinity, 27 at the absolute latest, right? But it was probably like a 25-ish range, right? And 25 to 27. So I go down to this gym on a Saturday, and I'm watching sparring. It was the first time I had ever watched sparring up close and personal. It's really the first time that I had really seen boxing up close and personal, because you watch it on TV, but when you see it in person, because TV doesn't give you a full appreciation of all the shots that hit that you just don't see. You don't get appreciation of what the power is that's actually behind it, even though the guy shook it off. So listen, and by the way, I curse on my podcast. So if I know I'm 11 minutes in, 10 minutes in, whatever the case is, I do curse. And so as I begin to tell my stories, some things are going to come out of my mouth. Take the kids out the car. Don't, you know, take me off for a second. Like, hit me up later. I'll be around. Just hit pause, know where you're at, and come back, okay? And if you're Christian, just pray for me, because God's not through with me yet. So anyway, I'm ringside, right? And, you know, I'll wait for these guys to go ahead and start their sparring. And I'm looking at the guy, and they're probably like light heavyweight, somewhere around like 175-ish range. Maybe like 180-ish or so. But, you know, when boxers are in good shape. So I'm watching these guys hit each other. And they got headgear on. But I'm looking at that shit like it ain't really doing much. And then I see a dude start bleeding out his nose, right? And then I see him throwing a blood snot bubble out of his nose. He put closed one nose and then went, and then he kept doing that a couple of times. Then I looked at the other dude and his lips was busted. They got headgear on. And I'm starting to figure out, well, how many times do I got to do this? Wait, because now I realize this is where the realization came. Oh, see, the punching bag don't hit back. The speed bag, it doesn't hit back. Those mitts, they don't hit back. I mean, the trainer hits you on the sides, right? But you're not getting hit back. But these dudes in here, oh, these MFers are hitting back. And then I started thinking to myself, shoot, I got a dental plan. I got a 401k that I just got started on. I got insurance. Man, I don't need this in my life. Man, I was done. I was retired. That's it. That's all it took for me to see it in person and say, you know what? Forget it. I ain't doing this. Nah, brother. If you told me you do a couple of times, but you got to, how many times I got to spar in order to get in the ring? See, this is what the problem with boxing is, because you can't get the smart person to box. You can't get the smart person by. You got to get the guy who's just desperate. Oh, I mean, just nothing, right? So anyway, get past that. Oh my God, I'm so far off topic. On Monday, I started jogging. I didn't say I was running. You know there's a difference, right? Because runners run. People like me, we jog. But I was able to get some jogging done. Now, I did only a little over a mile. But it was day one. I went out and I got, you guys know who Randoke is on the board. He's a really cool dude, like a really, really nice guy. Really, really cool dude. And he's an avid runner. So he and I were talking about certain things and he was kind of steering me in the right direction. Told me to go to, there's a store in Austin called Ready to Run. So he advised me to go there. He said that's one of his favorite stores. And so I went there. I didn't realize that you actually had to get special running shoes. Like, I was going to go to the Nike outlet. Like, I don't know. What am I supposed to? But apparently, they go and watch you walk, and then they kind of fit you perfectly. And it's like, oh, this is what you should wear to run. I'm like, oh, well, damn, wish I would have known that. I probably would have not had the knee problems that I did have. So I went out and got some, how do you call it? Like a Saucony? Is that, and am I saying it right? Saucony? Got whatever, the Saucony. Really nice sneakers though. But it's supposed to, it really helps. So I went out and so I kind of, in that mile, I walked half of it, I kind of ran half of it. And didn't want to get discouraged and get down on myself. So I was able to really feel like I accomplished something. They say you're supposed to rest your body. So I'm going to rest my body on Tuesday and do some cardio work in the gym. And then on Wednesday, I'm going to head back out and I'm going to start hitting that run. So my goal is to run a 5K at the end of this month. Now, I don't expect to actually run the 5K. I will jog it, but if I can get like a mile and a half done, I will consider that an accomplishment. And then I'll just kind of continue to work my way up from there, right? So anyway, here's the other last thing about boxing where I actually knew I could never be a boxer. So years ago, I think it was Tarver versus Roy Jones Jr. and Floyd Mayweather Sr. was there. I think I've shared this story before. Floyd Mayweather Sr. Was there. He had a guy that he was training. I knew a person that he was dating. We always relayed messages back and forth to each other. We always joked around each other, had a good time. So I saw him in Tampa. And then, dude, like Floyd's in like his senior, he's probably 50s at this point, where I don't even know how old he is now. And I was trying to show him some of my hand speed. I'm like, look, man, you know, I could have been something. And I'm like, I could throw my punches. And he looked at me, he's like, man, you're too slow. And I'm like, what do you mean you're too slow? Man, I'm good. Guys, that man, before I blinked, threw like 4 to 5 punches, like within maybe an inch or two of my nose, and before I it was like, wait a minute, what just happened? Yes, he had that kind of hand speed, and I realized, oh my God, if I would have stepped in that ring, would have been great to start off, but boy, would have got buried at a little bit of time. So, all right, let's move on. One of your favorite parts of the show, one of your favorite parts of the podcast, Pimp Game 101. All right, fellas, I got something for you. I got two things for you. I've been debating back and forth, but I'm going to put one down for later in the week, and I'm going to get into the one that I've been wanting to do for a while. But, fellas, it's time for Pimp Game 101. It's time for us to talk about workplace romance. Workplace pimping. Let's get into some workplace pimping. All right. As your drunk uncle, I feel like I got to put a full disclosure out here for you. I feel like I have to pre-warn you, and I feel like I have to lay it out here, and I feel like I got to put it down where the cows can eat it, right? When it comes to workplace romance, your drunk uncle will tell you one thing. Probably shouldn't do it. Probably a bad idea. Now listen, I love a challenge, and I'm not saying I have ever shied away from workplace romances. I'm not saying any of that. I've definitely had some workplace romances. We can talk about that another time. Nothing current, though. Don't get your mind out the gutter. Don't be talking no shit about me and Taylor. I don't want to hear that, all right? I'm talking about back in the day. I'm talking about back in Tampa days, all right? You guys get all slick out the mouth. I know how you guys do. So anyway, I would definitely say this. In general, you shouldn't dip your pen into the company ink. In general, you shouldn't shit where you eat, okay? In general, I'm about the money, I'm about the dollars, and that's what we should always be about. We should always be focused on that. But I do understand, your drunk uncle understands that you spend so much time in the workplace that inevitably these things happen. That's why you have your work wife, and that's why you have your work husband. And like, and eventually, it's easy for these things to kind of to spark. And especially if you work in big business, and in the smaller ones, it's even tougher. But say you work on a big business where there's like different floors. So you might see someone from advertising one day, you know what I'm saying? Or you might see someone from another department, and you're going to say, oh, wow. So, you know, you guys might be eyeing each other. So I see it. I get it. So here's the thing. First and foremost, I would highly suggest you don't. However, if you decide to go down that road, here's a couple of things, pimp strategies that I need you to have, all right? Everything I've said before still applies. Everything I've taught you before, it still applies. But however, here's the other thing. We're going to go back and add in a little bit of something. It's the kind of the pimping advice that I gave for the Christians several weeks ago. Yes, I gave pimping advice for Christians, and I thought it was really good. All right, we're going to go back to being discreet. Number one, we've got to be discreet, pimps. Because we can't have our business out there in the street and have everybody know what we're doing. We can't do that. We can't have everybody know that we're hooking up with this person and we hanging out with this person, because it's going to create an uncomfortable environment, and sometimes your bosses get involved and there's rules against it. So we are discreet can be. We are really only revealing this thing until we're kind of at the point where we feel like you're going to meet mama. That's where we're at. Unless she's fixing to meet mama, I don't see any reason for you to tell anybody about what you guys are doing or what you guys are going through. You understand what I'm saying? So first and foremost, I need you to be more discreet. Second, part of that discreetness, right? Don't get cute. I don't need you to start thinking you cute. And you say, okay, you know, well, I'm going to go to lunch at 12 o'clock. And then she's going to go to lunch at 12:10. And then we're just going to meet up for lunch. No, no, no. Everything we're doing is after hours. We ain't messing with the work. We ain't messing with the money. I don't care. I don't care if there's a taco deli right by your job. I don't care what wherever you think is amazing. What's a sub place here? Thundercloud. I like Thundercloud. Really good subs, by the way. We're not doing that. Everything's after hours. We're not sitting together in the break room. We no one needs to know, because we don't know how this thing's gonna go. And what you don't know how she's gonna be. Listen, pimps, the person you start dating is never the person you break up with. The person you marry is not the person you divorce. They're two totally different people. And I understand they are one and the same, but they're two totally different people, because when you break up, the fellas who've ever been divorced, you understand this. When you break up with somebody, you get divorced, that person becomes the most evil person that there is. You start in your mind thinking about what is the perfect murder weapon to get rid of that person. And by the way, it is an ice knife, I believe, because when you stab someone, the whole evidence melts away. Okay, that's just me talking. I ain't never said I had the thoughts, and I don't trying to put those thoughts in your head, and don't you guys try to sue me for what's being said. Anyway, because it's just my words, I guess, and I have no accountability for my words. Anyway, so I'm not going to do any of that stuff. Everything's going to be after hours, discreet, all that other type of stuff. Last thing. So Anwar, I met someone at the job, and I want to try to get with them. I want to try to holler at her. What am I supposed to do, Pim? All right, here we go. It's real simple. Real simple. First and foremost, we can do something individualistically. We can still, all pimp rules still apply, right? But remember, we got to be really, 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 really careful with this one. So first and foremost, you need to fill it out to make sure she really does kind of like you and she's really into you. That means some more conversations at the job, more so than anything else. Don't get weird. Because HR is right around the corner. You get weird, she's got HR on her back. You understand what I'm saying? So don't get weird. Don't be sending her weird pictures. Don't go in the bathroom to, you know, do a little ding. No one will see your ding dong. Like, don't get stupid. Just keep on the level. Now, you want to try to plan something, but you're kind of unsure where she's at? Plan a happy hour. That's it. Get a bunch of people together. Kind of talk to her a little bit there. Try to angle it so you can kind of sit next to her. This and that. Feel it out. Now, If things vibe well in the happy hour and people get ready to go, you can say, hey, what you getting ready to do? Oh, I'm not getting ready to do nothing. Okay, hey, you want to go over to another spot? Yeah, right? And now all of a sudden, now you have your intro. But again, walk gingerly, be careful. Again, wouldn't advise it, but just be careful. And if you start getting the green lights for some of the other pimping advice that I gave you, then listen, what I say, closed mouths don't get fed. But open mouths could get you fired at your job. So be careful as you tote that lie. And I got some more stuff. I got some good, more pimping stuff for you guys later in this week. Now, end of the podcast. You guys haven't... No, I'm just joking with you. Not yet. We're still going to keep this party going, man. Oh, as a result, because I did some exercise today, I didn't want to get any alcohol at this moment. So I'm drinking water, staying hydrated, feeling pretty good. And please just be encouraging. It's all I can say. Try to get a mile and a half in. All right. So this weekend was interesting from UT, kind of Texas perspective. I have a friend of mine who actually had a chance to go to practice Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Okay, had a friend of mine who actually had a chance to go to practice on Friday and Saturday of this past week. And what was interesting was he sent, and that was kind of cool too, he sent me a text message, and you just never know who's listening, right? And it was like just out of blue. He's like, man, everything you said on your podcast about these receivers having height is so on point. Like, you were not over-exaggerating that. Because one thing he saw was in person, whoa, these are some big trees. I mean, this is a forest out here. And Malcolm Epps continues to be that guy. Malcolm X is, I mean, you talk about a guy who is surprising and who is really winning spring. I mean, Malcolm Epps is that dude who's winning spring, because I'll be quite honest with you. I knew some basics about Malcolm X, but not Malcolm X. He's like, we didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us. Take that. Oh, you sucks. Like, no, I'm sorry. Malcolm Epps. I can see me making that mistake more than once. I didn't know a lot about Malcolm Epps before, you know, this year. You know, he's a guy who signed, but I'll be honest with you. I'm one of these people, as a beat writer, I just have so many things to worry about. It's really hard for me to keep up with the backups, just to be honest with you. And I'm not that guy who buys a lot into recruiting, because I follow recruiting. I enjoy recruiting. But recruiting to me is almost kind of like the NFL draft, where you just got to see how guys pan out. And I've covered guys who were first rounders that were okay and bust. And then I've seen guys who were undrafted free agents to go on and become something great. You guys see that with recruiting. You guys see 3 stars who end up being, you know, studs. And you guys see 5 and 4 stars who you're like, eh, it's all right. So I got to be honest when I say, hey, I didn't really know a ton about Malcolm Epps heading into this year outside of his name and, you know, the position changes and stuff. But Malcolm X, come on. I don't even know where this podcast is headed. Malcolm X. Malcolm Epps. I'm just gonna call him Malcolm from. It's just too close. It's just too close. So I'm gonna simplify it. I'm gonna go back to my public school. Go back to my University of South Florida. A lack of education, and go back to my Lakeland High School diploma out in Lakeland, Florida. And I'm just gonna simplify it. I'm gonna call him Malcolm. Malcolm has been balling. I'm going to move off of him because I'm not appreciating where that conversation or lack thereof is heading. Casey Thompson is a guy that Tom Herman talked about. And I think I told you guys that I wanted to keep eyes on him. But Casey Thompson is a guy that he just continues to do the thing. He was a little nervous on Friday from what Coach Herman had said. But everyone keeps saying the guy looks good. And listen, and people keep saying the guy looks good. People keep saying that they have confidence in him and have faith in him. And I not only hear this from Tom Herman, but I'm hearing this from my sources inside the building. At that point, I just got to say, okay, I have to trust them. You know, I have to trust them, and I have to trust what they're telling me. Because you know what those same sources did? The same sources told me about a year ago, Andrew Beck is going to be legit. Andrew Beck is good. And so with that, I stood on the table for Andrew Beck, and Andrew Beck's going to he's going to get drafted, baby. So if they're going to tell me Casey Thompson is good, I got to trust the people who have not let me down, and we got to take it from there. Demarion Overshown is another guy I keep hearing great things about, but, you know, lots of positive things about him. Where, I mean, golly, where are they at as far as safety is concerned? I mean, who they got left? I think I asked Tom Herman about that on Saturday, and it's like he said Craig Navarre was out there playing at some point. I mean, that's where they're at from the safety position. So lucky for Texas, it's the springtime and clearly not in training camp where you know it really, really counts and really matters. These guys can go ahead and get healed and rested up and really allow the young guys to get some reps and get some work in so this team ends up having a lot of depth when training camp rolls around. Does kind of suck that Sam Ehlinger is not playing because he's been sick, but it looks like I got to check into that. Thank you. I got to check into what Sam's health is and see if he's got a chance to be playing and return to practice next week. So this week, which is on Tuesday. So guys, thank you. You know what? I know sometimes people say, sometimes Anwar's drunk uncle is a little bit like the Sunday pulpit. And sometimes it is, but I do try to mix it up for you guys a little bit and just give you a little bit more of my personality, a little bit more of my brand, just a little bit more of who I am as a person, as opposed to what you kind of see. And I felt like when I did, I hosted the Ticket City podcast, the Orange Bloods podcast last week, because kept filling in for Ketch, and I got a lot of positive feedback, but it was just so different because it was a version of me, but it wasn't like the me, like you guys get to hear, right? This is me. That's like corporate Onward. Right. So, like, that's corporate Onward that pays the bills. This ain't really corporate Onward. This is like, I don't really give a damn Onward, but I'm going to give you some really good information and I'm just going to be myself because, hey, I don't know. I was about to say something. I thought maybe I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. But shit, that's right. It is my podcast and that would make me be in corporate armor. Hey, haven't gotten paid yet. So until we got to get paid, you know, we got to keep it rolling. But you guys like the way the whole discussion is headed. So I'm just going to continue to be me. Anyway, here was the thing that really was interesting for me when I talked to Tom Herman on Saturday. My buddy Tom Herman, right? You guys see him. Nice guy to me. I don't know if he likes anyone else. We don't give a damn, quite honestly. But it led to something that was in my Sunday pulpit. And it's very, by the way, super sidebar. I'm going to get back to it in a second. Is anyone else find it weird that Ketch and I are the only writers in Austin that cover UT that try to put together like a Sunday presence? Is that weird or land weird? Because back in the day, on Sundays, I mean, you guys remember like the Sunday paper, like that was what you wanted to read, and you wanted to read the Sunday paper, and you wanted to read the columns from your columnist and read it. And I mean, you know, clearly there was ads and things like that, but the Sunday paper used to mean something, right? And it's just so interesting to me that Ketch and I are really the only people in this market that try to have some sort of Sunday presence. And his style and my style are totally different. Again, my style is more reflective of who I am. Give you points, kind of to the point, give you some funny stuff, get the hell out. You know, that's where I try to be. Anyway, just a sidebar. Any case, so let's move on. So Tom Herman, I asked him a question, and it was simply about Malcolm Epps, right? That'd be a fair question because he is the stud and has been kind of, if you had to say, if there was an MVP, he's kind of been that guy. And what came really interesting was he said, yeah, you know, Malcolm X looked impressive during the spring football practice and said he probably made the most explosive plays out of any receiver. And then Tom Herman said something that kind of caught me, I won't say off guard, because I won't say off guard, but it was like, huh, really? And he started talking about the explosive plays of Jordan Whittington and Keyonte Ingram. And he started, and even Kirk Johnson, which I'm like, there's a Kirk Johnson sighting? You know what the thing is that every year we get asked about has always been for the past few years has been, what about Kirk Johnson? What about Kirk Johnson? What about Kirk Johnson? And it's the Kirk Johnson turnaround is so fascinating for many ways because I remember, I want to say it's like 2017 when a lot of these people, their first year here in Austin, and there was some doubt that Kirk Johnson would ever play football again. There was legit doubt within that building that he's letting him go and live out his dream with the belief that it's probably never going to happen for him. And here it is, Kirk Johnson is actually having an impact. And not only is Kirk Johnson having an impact, but you have Keontae Ingram, who's starting to have an impact. And then, of course, now that you got Jordan Whittington, who I'm all team Jordan Whittington. It's all of a sudden you start looking at the backfield. That's you're saying, oh, wow, there could be some dynamite here. And he talked about explosive plays. They were explosive today at times. And when have you ever heard Tom Herman talk about his running backs being explosive? I'll hold. I'll wait. You haven't, right? When you think about it, he had Daniel Young, but in year one, Sam Ehlinger was the leading rusher. And I mean, Sam Ehlinger. And it wasn't like Sam Ehlinger ran for 1,000 yards or like 380 or something to that effect. It wasn't over 400. Then last year, you had Trey Watson. He had Keontae. Keontae's a freshman, so definitely nothing disparaging against him. Trey Watson was a senior, but he didn't have breakaway speed. He was good, don't get me wrong. He was serviceable, don't get me wrong. But he didn't have breakaway speed. He wasn't elusive. He wasn't that guy that you got on the field and said, ooh-wee. I mean, it wasn't like must-see TV. It was just like, okay, there's Trey Watson. He's got his carry. He's got his 2 yards. You know, there's 3 yards, something like that. And now, all of a sudden, you've got some running backs who have the potential, and potential is always going to be the key word, but the potential to have an impact this season. And if there ever was a coach who had to do the damn thing this year, who had to make it happen, who, for all intents and purposes, you can say is coaching for their job at UT, I think that guy is Stan Drayton, the running backs coach. I think it's Stan Drayton because Stan Drayton came in. His past is something that cannot be ignored, but it's also a thing where you say, okay, but if it happened then, why can it not happen now? You know, so you start looking at the success that he had at Ohio State with the Carlos Hyde of the world. You start looking at what he was able to pull off. I think it was Juwan Howard in his first year at Chicago. And then you look at what's happened here. I mean, year one, again, Sam Ehlinger is leading rusher. Last year got a little bit better. You got Trey Watson and Keontae. So you see, getting a little bit better. But this year, this has got to be the year. This has got to be the year that Stan Drayton goes and says, okay, you may not find a guy who's the next Ezekiel Elliott, because Ezekiel Elliott is clearly, I mean, amazing. That's your best kid. I mean, that's your dream scenario. It's like when people start talking about Lil Jordan Humphrey, and they'll say things like, well, Jerry Rice ran a 4.7. I mean, yes, but you're talking about a Hall of Famer. Like, there's a reason why these are Disney movies, because it's not the norm. It's like to say, well, every sixth rounder ends up being Tom Brady. Like, that's not how any of this works. So Stan Drayton has got to find a way where, I don't know how you quantify it, but the run game has to be a lot more successful. And I actually do know how you quantify it, because it's kind of what I had in my column. And I won't rehash a ton of it, but what I basically kind of looked up, and I looked up the teams that were in the CFP, because let's just be honest, Texas wants to be a team that's in the CFP, right? I mean, I'm not telling a secret, am I? I'm not saying something that you don't know. Tom Herman stated this, so this is not brand new information. And look at the teams that have been in the CFP since the CFP started, and look at what these teams have been able to do from a rushing perspective, just a rushing category perspective. And then I looked at Texas. I looked at Texas over the last 2 years because I thought that would be the only fair barometer. Anything past that, I think it's just too arbitrary. So I stayed within this. So 2018, last year, Texas averaged 153.1 rushing yards per game, 3.8 a carry. Year before that, 139, so less, 3.6 a carry. Last year, 80, they were 69th in the country. 2017, they were 89th in the country. What I ended up finding and discovering was, just doing the math here, most every team that with the average ranking for teams that were in the CFP were 24th. Again, Texas was at 89th and 69th the past couple of years. So you realize the stretches that need to be made. The other thing that was interesting was, golly, does Alabama and Clemson play every damn year? Good Lord. But Alabama, like last year, Alabama averaged 190. I'm not going to go through everything because that would be tedious. But Alabama averaged 198 yards, rushing yards a game. This is just rushing. Clemson averaged 248.2. And Clemson's yards per carry was at 6.6. Alabama was at 5.2. Now, Notre Dame gets in there with their 182. And then Clemson goes and beats the brakes off of Notre Dame in the semifinals. And oh yeah, by the way, rushes for 200 yards, 5.7 yards per carry. And Notre Dame, you had 88. And then the previous year, 2017, Clemson was at 194. Oklahoma was at 217. Georgia at 258. Alabama at 250. 2016 was another interesting one. Alabama at 245. Clemson at 169. Ohio State at 245, Washington at 198. Well, Alabama defeats Washington in the semifinals, and they get 269 rushing yards. Oh, and by the way, Washington itself, they were held to 44 rushing yards. Is that not good? Is that not good? Because I don't think that's good. And Clemson was able to defeat Ohio State 21-0, and they had Deshaun Watson, but do you know what the key to that was? You know what the key to that one was? Was that in that game, they also had rushed for 265 yards. Ohio State had 88. That's it. So it's the old adage, right? Everyone always says, you know, it's important to run the ball. You got to run the ball. You got to be able to move the ball. We all understand that and know that. But in this age of gimmicky offenses and spread and everyone doing a lot of things that is just seemingly to be passing related, it is important to always know and always remember that you have to be able to run the football and run the football consistently if you want to be able to compete in the CFP. Because there's teams in here who've snuck in, who've been able to sneak in, and they've been curb stomped. Michigan, 2015, average 151 yards per game. I meant to say Michigan State. And by the way, Alabama defeated Michigan State that year, 38-0. And they rushed for 154. Michigan State rushed for 29 yards. Unreal. Even FSU, they squeaked in at 138 in 2014. And they had Jameis Winston. And you know what? They got the ass whooped. Seriously. Oregon beat them 59-20. And Oregon, oh, they only rushed for 301 yards. FSU had 180, but that's because they had Dalvin Cook, who had 103. Dalvin Cook was pretty damn good. He's a future NFL player, so I'll give you that. But you still got curb stomped. You still got tore out the frame. 59-20 and 301. What it all means is this. Texas, with the goal of competing for a CFP, because look, we understand the goal is to compete for a conference title, and they're set up in a way where I believe that's going to be an automatic. Like, I'm not questioning if something like that's going to happen. That seems to be something that's going to be an automatic, so that's not an issue. The question really becomes, within that, to take the next step, do you have a solid run game? Now, the good thing is the offensive line is seemingly could be better than it's been in previous years. Seems to have a lot more guys. Seems to have a lot more depth. Seems to be an offensive line that, if you're a Texas fan, you can have high hopes for. The receivers are big, which means blocking shouldn't be an issue. And they got guys who should be able to get the damn thing done. Jordan Whittington's going to have breakaway speed. Keontae Ingram should be a good back. And Kirk Johnson has speed. And we'll see what happens with Kirk if he ends up being in the mix. So on paper, and everything's good on paper, and everything's good on paper in April. Everything looks good. Except for me trying to say Malcolm Epps. But outside of that, we'll see how it plays out and develop. But I think the encouraging sign, I'm going to close with this. I think the encouraging sign for Texas fans is this. You're seeing and hearing about explosive plays in practice, something that really hasn't been a talking point for a while. And if Texas is able to pull that off, and Texas is able to have running backs that can take advantage and make guys miss and get to the next level and be ultra, ultra productive. You fill in the blank because I won't do it. All right, guys, that's it. I'm not going to make I'm not making predictions right now. I'm not going to put something out there for you to hold against me 6 months from now. We'll figure it out then. I'll give you my predictions as we get a little bit closer. I'll give it to you later this year. So listen, man, I feel good. I feel healthy. Like watch me get hit by my kid's school bus or something today. But I feel good. I feel like I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to try to be healthier. The one thing you don't ever really see a lot in life, you don't see old people who are overweight. You don't see people in their 80s. You know, who 400 pounds. That just doesn't happen, right? I mean, Big Mama may be able to make it, but Big Mama lost a foot on the way if she's been able to make it that far. Big Mama had the diabetes. Her sugar acted up, had to cut off her foot. Like, that's just what happened. She got stocking around her foot right now. I mean, she's just trying to make do. So I'm trying to be healthy. I got a kid. I got a baby. I got kids. I got a baby. We all going to die sometime. But if I can live the longest life that I can to be able to be a part of their life, I'm definitely going to try, and I'm going to try to give it my even a good effort, doing some exercise on Tuesday. I'm saying this so you guys hold me accountable, and then I definitely going to run on Wednesday. I'm looking forward. I will not disappoint you. You will have a podcast for me later this week. I will see how the practice schedule goes out, but you definitely will be hearing from your drunk uncle. That is a promise as long as I'm on the face of this earth. Don't let me freaking go out there and get hit by a bus after I started exercising. That'd be some BS. I'm just going to say. And by the way, make sure you guys drink at my funeral because anything else would be totally unacceptable. And if they start talking about like how much about how much of a nice guy I was, you can feel free to walk out because they probably lying just to make everything sound good. All right, you guys have a good time. We'll catch up soon. I have the crappiest outro ever, so here's my outro. My outro sucks. Take care.